Hello and welcome, and this is the Redbird Reboot Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Murphy 7. Follow on Twitter, or X as apparently it's going to be called now, and we've been on quite a bit of a hiatus. Cardinals have been in the off season. Took a break to be able to focus, at least not just on work, but also go over some of the future of this podcast. Happy to say that we are still moving forward, and there's plenty to talk about because Cardinals training camp, if you're listening to this, it is happening. We'll be able to have a lot of updates coming for you as far as what we're seeing. And in this episode, we'll go over the top 10 Cardinal storylines that I have for training camp 2023. And we'll be able to wrap it up at least with some expectations for what to look for in this team's preseason. Football is back, and so are we here on the Redbird Reboot. Let's go over here and we'll do two things here. We'll go over the top 10. We'll talk also at least about the time I expect Kyler Murray to return for the Cardinals. And my, I guess, worst case scenario, at least will be what we'll close the show with. But let's go over these top 10 storylines because these are important. We'll start with the defensive side. When you talk about training camp, you're not talking about team winning in preseason or anything like that. You're talking about players making appearances, showing up. A good example would be Greg Dortch last year. Showed that he was worthy to be on the 53-man roster. He comes back now, ends up in one of the promos that they've done for Cardinals Media Day with James Conner showing himself as a fan favorite as well. Despite not playing as much as we thought he would that last season, he produced whenever he did play. And in his fifth year now, has a chance to really be able to kind of cash in on a decent contract, hang around for a few more years, and kind of make a huge amount of money for being one of those glue guys that maybe is never that star, but is always one of those guys that at least you feel is reliable. Some of those players I think that we thought we were going to get for the Arizona Cardinals were Lucky Fotu and Rashard Lawrence, both defensive linemen that were drafted back over in the year 2020. And that's question number 10. Does either of those defensive linemen make a Zach Allen-type breakout? Now, Zach Allen, of course, was drafted by the Cardinals in the 2019 NFL draft, and really the time that he came alive was not during 2019. It was at pieces of time during 2020, but there were injuries that abounded. Really, it was that 2021 and 2022 season when he was healthy. He became one of the best defensive penetrators in the NFL. Standing next to J.J. Watt, went off and had a fantastic season, got paid by the Denver Broncos, and he had a later breakout than many expected. Now, I think that one of the questions with Zach is going to be injury, and even when it comes down to that overall upside, I'm fine with the Cardinals letting him move on, in part because by the time that his deal, I think, is up, you're probably going to be looking at him as the long-lasting veteran, as a team captain, but also as a guy who basically had one of those late-type breakouts, and as a result, you really want to make sure that it's a guy that when you do pay that money, you're going to see it consistently. Byron Murphy, same type of deal. So the question I have is, will you see one of those guys, a Lucky Fotu, or Rashard Lawrence, even one of the other players on the Cardinals, will any of them break out and be that interior pass rusher slash run stuffer that they need? Because my goodness, don't they need them? The Cardinals had two good players last year at defensive tackle. J.J. Watt was their best defensive lineman. He retired, had kind of his last big year. And then Zach Allen was a guy who, with considering his age and how he was able to blow up, was a guy who I think will be sorely missed. And if none of those guys do step up, then you're talking about a Cardinals front that was already bad against the run last year, even with J.J. Watt and Zach Allen. You take those players off the field, and suddenly you're talking about you can't stop the pass, you're not able to get interior pressure against the run, having to blitz a lot. There would be concerns, I think, about this Cardinals defense, and if one of those guys can step up, not only could it help with their future, it would also be a spot where you could feel like you'd be going into the 2024 season, the last year for each of these players, feeling like you've got a building block, a guy going into his contract year that you can enjoy. Now, I think these are the contract years actually for these players. This would be a guy that you could look at bringing back, I would say. Lawrence, Fotu, that's one of those things that I think would be important, because a lot of the players on this Cardinals team are probably not going to be here next year because of the new staff. You'd love to see at least one or two of those defensive linemen stick out, because otherwise you're talking about 2024 needing a defensive tackle, another defensive tackle if they walk. Maybe one of them blows up, but you're at least able to see production before that player goes to a different team. That's one of the biggest things that I will be watching for in training camp, is to see who would be the defensive tackle that steps up. And if there isn't one, that's something to be concerned about. Now, number nine, let's move on. Does the team bring in a veteran running back behind James Conner? We know that they worked out Damian Williams, one of the Cardinals players that we had seen, obviously. with the Chiefs previously, along with Darrell Williams. These are guys who had played with Patrick Mahomes, had been late-round picks, had had some success. Cardinals end up going out and didn't sign either of those guys. They do bring in at least one undrafted running back in Amari DiMercato. But as far as it comes to with this team, they're planning to run the ball a lot. And Corey Clement has really had more of a backup role. But outside of that, Keontae Ingram, Tyson Williams, Amari DiMercato, none of these players are anywhere close to having the veteran play that James Conner has had. I think that we could potentially see a player like Kareem Hunt, who knows the offense, knows Cardinals offensive coordinator from his time as the wide receivers coach. But whoever that backup is, you could probably see it be anywhere from Keontae Ingram securing it to even an Amari DiMercato getting a bigger role, or running back by committee. Because if there's one thing we've learned about James Conner, is that he is such a tough back that he's going to deal out blows and will end up taking some this year. That means he's going to probably miss at least a few games, you would imagine. So you want to make sure that whoever your backup is, you don't want it to be in a case, I remember a few years back, where Cardinals were back down to pretty much an empty set as far as having rookies, guys who were bad in pass protection. The game I remember always is the Zach Zenner game. Cardinals' top two running backs are out. Zenner comes in, he gets completely destroyed, and Arizona is unable to really move the ball through the air because of all the injuries and not able to move the ball on the ground. Teams are teeing up and rushing that quarterback, and that quarterback then is not able to get those pass protection reps from the running back. Played well, they're under pressure. That was a game where the Cardinals essentially came down to they didn't have enough players to be able to win that game against the Lions. And that really is what dealt a blow to that 2020 season in a lot of ways. Let's go and move ahead now to number eight. This is a question at least we may have an answer to today. Who is the team's starting center? Now, we know that they brought in a couple of guys, at least in this offseason, as far as being able to make that role. One of them, at least, that we'd expected being Hjalte Froholt. Came over from Cleveland. He was the guy that we had expected could be competing with Lasita Smith at center, would know the offense, obviously, or at least be more familiar with it. We knew that we had seen Dennis Daly is probably going to be locked into that left guard spot or the backup spot, given that Elijah Wilkinson was also signed by the Cards. And then John Gaines was a fourth-round draft pick who had been getting some snaps at center in minicamp. We got Marquise Hayes. I know at least the team had liked him in the past. He actually went up and had a solid game against Aaron Donald. I think it was actually solid preseason before he went on to IR. It was Lasitas who had a good time against Aaron Donald. But at the end of the day, I think that this signing that the Cardinals had of Pat Elflein, who's played more snaps than anyone else on the Cardinals roster at center, I think that that is going to be your starting center. And not to say it's anything negative about those, I think that he's the guy that you give first, because you usually let your veteran be the guy who has to fail first before you go to a rookie or a worse option. And that makes sense in a lot of ways. The guy who's seen it before, guy who's played there before. If you give it to a rookie, that rookie not only will have to win out, but they'll have to be at a level where they're so beating the other options that you're going to be able to at least say, yeah, this is a guy that we know is going to do it. And those are usually first round picks. And that's one of the things I think that you can at least say about the Cardinals, is they haven't really invested into the center position until this moment. Now, he was a third-round draft pick originally, has been a starter in the league before. He's at a level higher than Billy Price, but not at a level, I think, or he may not be replaceable overall in the long run. But I think the question is, if Pat Elflein isn't the guy, then who is? Because if there is someone besides Elflein that is going to have to start, that's going to be one of those places and one of the pain points for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm glad they at least were able to bring in another veteran in addition to Froholt, the rookie Gaines, Lasitas. They just did not have that much experience at that spot. Now, moving on to number 7. Wide receivers. Your top 3 receivers for the Cardinals that are coming back are all 5'9 or shorter. Mostly, they would be considered slot guys. We did see enough from Hollywood Brown last year to be able to say he can play on the outside. But at the end of the day, I think you're going to be looking at this team running a lot of 12 personnel, and so that makes things very interesting. Do you see Marquise Brown not leave the field? Does he play more out of the slot? Do you end up seeing Rondale Moore moving around, getting downfield a bit more? Can he stay healthy enough through camp, something that he hasn't been able to do the last few years, even dating back to college? Does Greg Dortch make enough of a push that he ends up essentially being able to claim one of those slot starting spots, or at least rotating with Rondale Moore? Then you look, of course, at Zach Pascoe, who I do think is going to be one of the starters outside for this team. And, of course, the talk of what we had for the early minicamp and OTAs, Michael Wilson looking the part, having the size. He's had health issues in the past. He also hasn't had necessarily the best touchdown production you would have normally expected for a 6'2 guy. But if he's able to be one of those guys that steps up and is able to claim, say, one of those outside spots, or even maybe not at first, maybe he's able to kind of take over for Zach Pascoe. You know, Cardinals did sign Davion Davis earlier this week. I would lean toward thinking that they're going to be getting the most that they can out of Marquise Brown, out of Rondale Moore, and out of Greg Dortch, knowing that Michael Wilson may end up being a guy that ends up making plays later in the season than earlier. If he ends up being on the field a lot more as a rookie, not only will it say, I think, some about how the Cardinals want to build their team with height at the receiver position, but it'll say that the Cardinals may have gotten a good draft pick after all. All right, now let's move on to number 6. And this is going to be another one that's going to focus here on the defense. And this is, who are the starting edge rushers for the Arizona Cardinals? Who are they going to be? We think at least that there's going to be some people on the defensive end side, such as the likes of LJ Collier, Jonathan Ledbetter, makes sense. Carlos Watkins and Leckie Fotu are obviously going to be inside players. You're probably looking at Dante Stills, Kevin Strong, and Rashard Lawrence being, whether the team plays more of a 3-4 or whether they do see some 4-3 looks, those are going to be the guys on the interior, not necessarily the edge. So that means we're talking about Myjai Sanders. We're talking about Cameron Thomas. We're talking about if Dennis Gardeck is able to make a push there. We're talking about if BJ Ojulari, second round pick, where does he fit into this picture? And of course, Zaven Collins, who, if he's moving to this full-time type of outside linebacker, stand-up edge role, which I think can be a good fit for him, being able to drop back in coverage or rushing the passer. How does that all play out? Because if the Cardinals are in a position where they're picking in the top 10, maybe not first or second, maybe they have one pick that's used, but if they've got a slightly later pick, you want to see at least one of those guys pop. Because if you go into next year and your whole entire takeaway from the Cardinals was they couldn't stop the run, and those edge rushers, not a single one of those guys had more than 5 sacks. Like, they had to bring pressure from everywhere. They just couldn't get to the quarterback. You're talking about a major need being there for the Cards, and if they have to draft it, that may even take another year for that edge rusher to really pop, unless you're able to get one of these top tier guys. And I think you'll also see if some of these newer players, such as BJ Ojulari, or even moving the likes of Zaven Collins to the edge, get some preference over the third rounders and Cam Thomas and Myjai Sanders. I would be in favor of moving Thomas to the defensive end side, seeing if he can be a guy that can kick out maybe somewhat on the edge. But at the end of the day, the Cardinals need to at least find someone who I think can be the guy, because they had that guy after a while of not having him in Chandler Jones. They rolled with Marcus Golden, Chandler Jones, and when they let Chandler walk, Marcus just did not have the gas and the juice to be able to replace him for that production anymore. And the young guys couldn't either, and that became a huge issue for the Cardinals. You don't want to see that balloon into a bigger one. All right, let's get to our top five now. Top five is the quarterbacks, Colt McCoy's health, and the quarterback three battle. When it comes to Colt McCoy, he's head injury issues. He's not really lasted more than 2 to 3 games, starting at a time before he either gets a concussion, he's gotten a neck issue, has had some other problem. And what's unfortunate is that he's another year older with a few more of these hits. You're talking about a guy who's 36 years old now. And it's not to say that like you can't find a good season at 36, but I think the expectation that people have for Colt McCoy is that if he makes it through camp, he may start for the Arizona Cardinals because he probably seems to be a tier ahead of their rookie, and you'd think a step ahead of Jeff Driscoll. But it may not be that he's able to be the guy long-term. And he has been very sporadic because it's dependent on what type of team he's playing. In 2021, they played the Panthers defense and he got shellacked. Now, they played a much better Seahawks and Niners defense that year that also he did pretty well against, but they really went off running the ball in each of those games. And he's a good game manager, but as far as being a playmaker, you're going to have to be able to see him with a new offense and a new line be able to come out and get the receivers on that same page, having to teach it to guys. It is a huge task for him to do. And I think the question I have is if his body will hold up through the preseason and you can actually see a great start from him until Kyler comes back, that's awesome. But I think that you also need to look at the quarterback three battle. Cardinals had liked a little bit of what they saw from Jeff Driscoll. He's got some athleticism. He showed a little bit, at least in minicamp. But Clayton Tune is the guy where you want to see if this guy, as a fifth-round pick, is he going to be one of those players that you can talk about as finding his way as a long-term type of backup in this league or a spot starter? Because the Cardinals found one of those guys before. His name was John Skelton, and while Skelton, I think, had some limitations, Tune, at least, has had similar athleticism, has had good production, played at least in the Big 12 in a very pass-friendly offense. And you can do some of the same things with him you can with Kyler. But he's got also an athleticism that really the other guys don't have. Colt McCoy because of his age. Jeff Driscoll just because of the size. And I think that if Clayton Tune is able to go out there and make some plays, that's going to be a huge takeaway from camp. Because we'll see if he ends up playing sooner than later. All right, number four, and this is a big one, the coaching staff. Does the team buy into the coaching change? You don't have to say that the scheme works. You don't even have to really talk about if you're winning this year because the Cardinals have just torn it down so much from what they were a year ago to the point where we don't even know what's going to happen with Buda Baker. I think that's the biggest thing that you can at least say is that if you start hearing stories about the team buying in, about guys making plays, getting excited, being able to feel like that they have an opportunity, being able to feel like that the coaching staff is pushing them to be harder. A great example is Zaven Collins brought some eggs in to eat and got chewed out by the training staff. Or I should say the coaching staff there, which he said was a nice reprieve because the old coaching staff didn't chew people out. And people have talked about how it just wasn't as much of their style for one way or the other. But I think that if you're able to see a culture that's being set, see it consistent, and then see Cardinals players buy in, that will tell you whether this coaching staff will be here today, gone tomorrow, or if they have a chance of sticking around and making it a little bit longer, perhaps, than the likes of Cliff Kingsbury did, or you would hope, at least for the most part, with this season. Anything that ends up being to the contrary would be concerning. I think that you're talking about 2 years, and at the end of year two, we'll see exactly how we feel. You want to see those guys get bought in year one. Now, number three, storyline, Paris Johnson. Does he start at right tackle? I think this is going to be the biggest story we'll want to watch at camp because I think the Cardinals want Paris Johnson to be their right tackle. I think that you get to develop him, play him for a year, knowing that there's going to be rookie mistakes. It's not the blind side for the quarterback. You already have a veteran player in the likes of Will Hernandez, who's expected to start going to be next to him. You now got a veteran center coming in. He's going to have to beat out Kelvin Beachum, though. And Kelvin had shown himself to be a bit slow not able to stop as many of the different pass rushers, but for the amount on the contract he had been signed for, he was incredible, at least, of being able to produce for the Cardinals the last few years, to the point where Josh Jones was able to essentially come in and play left tackle or right tackle off of the bench, and the Cardinals had enough depth at the tackle spot they really didn't have issues going through the last couple of years. It's tough to say because it was locked down well enough by those two veterans and the depth that you really could almost at one point take it for granted. Now, last year, I think we did get to see Beecham at least lose a little bit of a step. And we will see if his contract, which is guaranteed for the season, means he's going to end up in more of a backup role, or if he's going to end up being the starter and holding off another young player like he did with Josh Jones, except this time it's a Paris Johnson, a first-round top six pick. If he holds him off yet again for another season, I do think this could be Kelvin's last year in the league, even though he signed a two-year deal. I think that's if he wants to play again. It wouldn't shock me if he does hang it up after one more year, especially if he does get beaten out by Paris. You would definitely feel like that could be end of an awesome, awesome career for him, but don't rule anything out. That's the case I think you'll want to see for the Cardinals, because John Gaines, for whatever that goes, he's still a fourth-round pick. You'll want to see your first-round pick at some point get on the field. You'd hope it'd be at right tackle. Some have mentioned that he played at left guard before. I think that they'll see him as a tackle, and he may end up being the heir incumbent to DJ Humphreys, guarding the quarterback's blind side at the end of the day. Number 2 point, who is playing inside linebacker? We've got no idea. Right now, we know two things, and that Zaven Collins is moving to edge, and that Isaiah Simmons is now a defensive back. He is moving to be a safety. And I think that's the right fit for Isaiah, did since he came out in the draft. But it really makes you wonder then, are you talking then about Kaiser White? If you're running a 4-3, you need two linebackers. If you're running a 3-4, you've got a Josh Woods type, you've got Chris Barnes. You just drafted an Owen Papo this year, who I think is probably going to end up being in that special teams role, probably being the backup to someone like Isaiah Simmons, where if Simmons gets hurt, you can bring in an athletic freak to hunt. Does Kyle Sowell make the roster? Like, there are guys this year at the inside linebacker position, and you don't have it set outside of Kaiser White. He's probably going to be the mic. He's probably going to be the guy calling the defense this year. So if you take those two guys and they're playing part-time roles, we see them rotate, that makes sense. If they're out of that position altogether, man, you look at that front for the Arizona Cardinals, it's going to be really tough sledding if your defensive line, the defensive tackles, and your inside linebackers aren't up to par, because we know Steve Keim tried to find inside linebacker help for years, was not able to do it. If the Cardinals aren't able to find at least one of those guys to man the position, and it's a problem all year, it's going to potentially not matter who you play, because teams will be able to make passes over the middle, and they'll be able to run the ball, and they'll be able to pass off of that play action over the middle, and you're going to give your offense a really tough time being able to keep up. Last one here, and this is kind of a mix where I think you look at, is there any status updates from their Pro Bowlers? This would be Buda Baker and Kyler Murray. I don't expect Kyler to have any of these updates. I think that we'll eventually see him go on the PUP list. I would be shocked if he is out there for week one, in part because he's going to then have to be going out there without having practiced in the offense, without having played likely in a preseason game, and it's a brand new offense as well. If this was still Cliff who was out there, we've seen it happen with guys before. Joe Burrow came back week one. RG3 back week one. Carson Palmer back week one. This is a new offense, which means it's going to not just take time to have to learn, but it's going to be different in execution. And that's something that if you're going to trot a guy like Kyler out there who's used to running around, who's not confident totally, maybe in that knee yet, and say he's going to be back for week one, I don't think that's a good idea, because I think you want to at least give the guy a couple weeks of practice with the team, getting used to it, being able to know that he can execute. You may not get any of that because of how late his injury was. I know people are optimistic saying he's going to be back for week one. He's working hard. I think that there's going to be a huge difference between the running and not just even the cutting, but being able to get back to his ability to run and avoid sacks, because he's going to need that. And you're going to want to have that as far as for him running, not just bootlegs, but being able to be a rushing threat on the field. Because we all saw what Russell Wilson looked like last year with the Broncos. When Russ wasn't able to run the same way, when the running attack was essentially non-existent, and when the offense was completely brand new to him, he struggled and had perhaps his worst season as a pro, to the point where it was like they could not even get in the end zone. They could barely get a first down. It was a huge mess last year. I think it'll be improved some with less injuries and a better play caller. But I think that's one of the updates that if I would expect anything, I think they'd be on the pup list. If he doesn't and they do roll through with him, that's going to be one of the things that I would be shocked by. Buda Baker, I think that we'll see a contract with him get done. If just because when the Cardinals said we want to be able to pay guys like Buda Baker, not only did it give Buda maybe a little bit of leverage to the point where fans are saying, yeah, extend him, keep him here, make sure he's happy. We already saw the Cardinals kind of play their hardball by not extending him immediately. He still showed up to camp, didn't hold out. You know that he's got 2 years left on his deal. I think that what we'll see with Buda Baker, and this is something that people have said, is that there is a chance that the Cardinals end up taking some of the money that he has, turn it into essentially a salary bonus, or however you want to call it, and he ends up getting guaranteed money this year. Right now, the cash that he is getting in 2023, he's got a cap hit that's there, but really, he ends up in a spot where he's under contract for next year. There is going to be a 28-year-old safety, and there's not a lot of security for him past this year. He's wanting to get a new deal. Even though there's 2 years left on it, he wants to make sure that he's able to be with the team for the long haul versus playing for another 2 years, tearing up his body, and then potentially not getting back into the league. And I'm in favor, at least, of the Cardinals making that move, getting some of the guarantees this year, if that's going to be the bare minimum, and then they can evaluate next season, because we don't know where the Cardinals will be. We don't know how the players are going to be. We could see this team surprise, and suddenly you're looking at Buda saying, we gave that guy a guaranteed money, and he's a free agent next year. We probably are going to see him want to be able to get a new deal this offseason. Or you may see it where Buda ends up being on a team that's struggling to win, and you don't know what's going to happen with him one way or the other, but he is essentially the face of the Cardinals franchise right now. But if he doesn't practice in camp, he doesn't play, that's going to be a really tough sell for not just Monty Ossenfort, but also for Jonathan Gannon, in being able to say, this is our model, this is the type of player we want you guys to look for. And if he's not out there, that's going to be a rough go of it for the Cards. I think that they could get something at least figured out where it's guaranteed for this year. It's obviously injury guaranteed, but that long-term security, or getting to free agency a year quicker by pushing money from 2024 into 2023, that's, I think, what the player is going to want. Now, those are the top 10 storylines for camp. Let's finish up by talking at least just about the question of when will Kyler Murray be back? And I think there's two things to look at here. One, there could be a third, but let's avoid that for now. The third item is where the Cardinals may be as far as when it comes to the top pick. Is it a top one pick, a top two pick? Because what most people seem to be committed to this year is that you've got a good quarterback prospect who you want to see some more from in Drake May, and you've got one of those type of Heisman winner, top of the line, gonna go at number one. If he just didn't play another snap of college football, they'd still take him there in Caleb Williams. And I think that what we are going to say, at least, is until the Cardinals get into that spot, you can't really judge. We were in a place where we couldn't even talk about Kyler Murray going with the number one pick, or even talking about Nick Bosa, until the San Francisco 49ers won a game with a backup quarterback all the way back in 2018 against the Seattle Seahawks. And I think it's somewhat worth to mention and talk about because of where the odds are, because of the mock drafts. But it's also a place of you want to put a lot more weight, I think, onto these two things. One of them is put some weight onto when Kyler comes back, and the other is put some weight onto the right time for him to come back. Even if healthy, what is the game in which you'd target for him? Kyler didn't just have an ACL, but there was meniscus damage as well. And that's something at least that is unfortunate, but is one of the nature of injuries is that if it's a clean ACL tear, it's easier to heal. If there's meniscus that needs additional cleanup, then that can play a part. I do think that the doctors letting Kyler put weight onto that knee for the first 6 months by kind of saying, hey, it's okay, we're able to kind of start some of this a little quicker, I think that that will be beneficial as far as what we could see him before perhaps the too late in the season type of point, because whatever the standard is, I think we're going to see Kyler at some point this year. There is a window, I think, where it does become too late, but I think that you're at least able to say they're probably going to get in a little bit ahead of that. Now, that being said, it's not going to be the window I think that fans want, and it's not going to be, I think, the right opportunity, because I think you look at the first two games for the Cardinals this year, you've got a road game that starts up against the Washington Commanders. I believe that is a game that he's going to miss. They have a very good defensive back unit. They have Chase Young in a contract year. Obviously, that front is very strong. It's a place where I don't think that you're going to want to have Kyler out there also, because he is not going to have gotten time or practicing with the team. I don't expect him to be able to be on there at all with, as far as training camp goes with the team. There may be, you'll see him throwing on the sideline, but other than that, there's not going to be that much. I've ruled out week one personally. I've also ruled out week two. You're at home with your home opener against the New York Giants. That's September 17th. Most people, again, are projecting Kyler to be back sometime in November. Now, I'm going to be maybe a little optimistic and also look at potentially of Kyler himself wanting to kind of get back and get on the field sooner. There's a balance to it, but you look at those next three games. You've got the Dallas Cowboys, September. You've got the San Francisco 49ers, October. The Cincinnati Bengals. Those are a home game against one of the teams that is probably trying to win a Super Bowl this year. Another team that almost went to a Super Bowl last year. And a Cincinnati Bengals team that has been to a Super Bowl in the last 2 years. So if you're talking about the earliest moment for Kyler Murray to get back, you're probably looking at week six, October 15th, a road game against the Los Angeles Rams at SoFi Stadium. We don't know what Aaron Donald's going to look like. He had health issues last year. We do know that the Rams defense has many rookies playing and starting this year. It may be a struggle. If the Cardinals defense does not get off to a good start and they get kind of blasted, you're going to have potentially Matthew Stafford and a guy in Cooper Kupp who's coming off of injury. We don't know how that's going to look this year. We don't know how the health is going to be for either of them. But if you end up in a spot where you end up having to get into a form of beating one bad defense when their offense making you pay, that's a lot of pressure to put on Kyler coming back in what could be maybe one of the first, if not the first, games that the Cardinals may actually have a chance in outside of the Commanders game. And with Saquon Barkley signing with the Giants, that's a tough task. I think you're probably going to be looking then at the Seattle Seahawks on the road is a tough game. The Baltimore Ravens at home is definitely going to be difficult. This is all in the October schedule. I think your best case scenario for Kyler is week six. Now, as far as what I think is the most realistic spot for Kyler, you look at the games afterwards. Baltimore, great team. Cleveland is pushing to try to make not just a playoff push. They're trying to go all in this year. You've got a home game against the Atlanta Falcons. There's Bijan Robinson coming to town, Drake London. That's November 12th. I would say that that game is probably the most likely one that you could see Kyler return in. We've heard that he's supposed to be back sometime probably in November, that he'll actually have had times practicing with the team beforehand. You'll get to see him execute. And at that point, I think if you've not seen the rookie quarterback go in and at least say play well enough like a Brock Purdy did to hold off the other starter, then that's probably the time frame, because you get a home game. You at least have had a whole week coming back from Cleveland. You're not gotten into the late season time yet. That's kind of the best target. And then you'll also get a chance up against the Houston Texans, Los Angeles Rams, and who knows what the Pittsburgh Steelers will be this year. That's at least your best opportunity to gain some positive traction, come in and get a win with your quarterback, see if you feel like that he's going to be the guy for the future. That's a great opportunity there. If you end up missing the time in November, I think that your cutoff date is going to be right there at November 26th against the Los Angeles Rams. If you're not able to hit by that point, that may be, in a lot of ways, like, if Kyler is not able to make it there, he may not play the whole season. That may be kind of that last shot for the Cardinals as far as him being able to have job security with the Cardinals versus the Cardinals looking at him saying, hey, we don't feel like you're recovered yet. We've got a game next week against the Steelers. They've got Najee Harris and some weapons. They've got that defense. We got through at least with this Rams game, and the Rams have injured Cardinals quarterbacks before. If you're able to see at least between the Falcons and Texans that Rams game, maybe Kyler pushes, maybe that's how it goes. You get the Steelers, Niners, a Bears team who we don't know if they're going to be jockeying for another top five pick, maybe higher, or if they're going to be in a playoff push in a now questionable NFC North division with Aaron Rodgers' departure. And then you finish up with a Seahawks team that's at State Farm Stadium, the last team of the year, but you have a game against the Philadelphia Eagles the week before, December 31st. I think there's a good chance that Kyler may not come back after the bye. If the Cardinals are in position to kind of secure that number one overall pick, I think you would still see a team trade for him, and at that point you'd probably shut him down, because at that point Kyler is worth more to you staying healthy than he is to evaluate and see on the field. And I think that's kind of the hope that I have felt, is that a lot of Cardinals fans have felt like he's not going to play. I think that there's a good opportunity to say that he shouldn't. Just period, because what you gain from playing Kyler Murray, maybe he gets hurt, you hurt whatever trade value it is, you're essentially now in a place where people are questioning if that first overall pick should be a quarterback who goes there to a team that's ruined two first-round picks at QB. You're then going to have at least the idea of teams not necessarily wanting to take him on. He's going to have a contract that's going to be tough to trade. You're going to be in a rough spot if you're the Cardinals. So I think that there is one spot up with Kyler Murray that you can at least know, and that's the boat equation, where you say, hey, you can either take $1 million now, or you can take this empty box. It could be bonus. It's been on Family Guy. It's been a long time, at least, I think. The idea is, do you have a sure thing that you know what it is, or do you have a mystery box? And you say, hey, whatever the mystery box is, it could be anything. It could be a bowling alley. It could even be a boat. And someone says, you're turning down a boat for the chance at something bigger? And I think that's one thing we've seen that NFL teams have consistently done. We've seen teams take on a Ryan Tannehill. We've seen teams trade for a Carson Wentz contract. We've seen teams be able to go out there and resuscitate old quarterbacks, especially if you're a team that feels like you're a quarterback away or wants to get a bit younger. I think that that's the case, at least, where if Kyler Murray is not coming back at a certain point, I think that you'll look at what could be kind of the code red of he doesn't come back at all the rest of the season. And what hurts is that I do think this is the make or break year for Kyler. People have said Cardinals have enough draft picks they could trade up and get a rookie quarterback and continue their rebuild, and being able to sign veteran players that aren't necessarily having to be blocked by Kyler's deal. You can move off of his contract. It's a big cap hit. Sure, it's a $40 million cap hit, $42 million. But teams have been willing to do that in the past, take the one down year, and we saw that the Cardinals do that already, taking the dead cap hit for Josh Rosen, trading him for a second-round pick. Thank goodness that they did. And it's something where if we end up going into this experience again, I think that a lot of fans are looking at the worst-case scenario, in my opinion, is this. You bring Kyler back. He wins you a couple of games. You end up kind of picking in maybe the top five, but not necessarily pick one or two. He then gets hurt after you brought him back, and we don't know if he's going to be back at all in the 2024 season. People start asking if he's going to just move to baseball. And you kind of put yourself in where this went from a potentially two-year rebuild, maybe a three-year rebuild, to where we start talking about the Cardinals probably having to go out and have a bad team that they're fielding or a stopgap QB in 2024 just for the chance to get to 2025 and hope there's a quarterback. Like, you're talking about a situation where I think the Cardinals have kind of showed what they think of their team. And it's that they didn't go out and sign guys. They've put in kind of the bare minimum effort. They've let guys go. And I think that you're not necessarily putting all your stakes on Kyler Murray. And it's going to be a mystery, I think, to see when he does get back. earlier is better, I think, to be able to use it as an evaluation process, because you can't just bring him back against the Rams and Seahawks and say, all right, shut it down, we're getting the number one pick. There's just no team that does that. You would lose your entire team if you did that. But November, December, those times when players kind of hold themselves out a little bit and say, yeah, my ankle's bothering me a bit, I don't want to have to get hurt on a bad team. That's, I think, the time frame that you want to look for. Anyway, for Cardinals camp, those are the things to watch for. This has been the Redbird Reboot. Thanks again for joining so much. Make sure you follow us at RB Reboot on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it for each of those things. Have these up on Revenge of the... Thanks again for tuning in. Redbirds, you've been rebooted.